Hello and welcome to the London Day Game podcast with a very large group of people. We have
It's so large.
It's very large. We have me, Wolf. We have, who else do we have? Most of these people aren't going to say anything. We have Thomas Crown.
Hello.
Who? Exactly.
Who?
We have the...
The man who needs no introduction.
Yep. Yeah.
We have the man formerly known as Kaiser. Yep. Not sure if he's going to say anything. We have Mr. Wild.
Yep.
We have the Sherston.
Yep.
We have the man himself, the elusive, the mysterious Charlie Bright.
So elusive.
And we have someone else who we're not going to say who he is. Mr. And I've just spilled some beer. So... He is a cover. Yeah, you all know who he is. Anyway,
I know who he is.
Tom, what are we talking about today?
Well, before we're talking about what we're talking about, we need to know what we're drinking.
Yes, we do.
So, what have we got here?
We've got a very nice pint of BrewDog IPA.
It's called Hazy Jane.
Hazy Jane.
Hazy Jane. How does there it sound? Go. Let's just get the sound.
Oh.
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yep, very nice.
That's fine, we'll cut that bit out.
We'll do some editing.
Shall we see, how does it taste?
It tastes delicious.
Let's have a little sip.
Tastes delicious. So, Kaiser, do you have anything to add to the podcast? He's got nothing to add.
Yeah. So, how was it? Do you know, fucking hell, give me this. I'll take over from now on. Professionals are in charge now. So, when you came back to London from Belgrade... In fact, you know what? We'll come back to that. Do you know what that is?
What?
That's an open loop.
There you go.
Charlie Bright, do you know what an open loop is? He says he's, like, bemused. He's A-mused, B-mused, and C-mused. Yeah. Right. So, an open loop is where you create a conversational loop and return to it later on to open up. So, you can use that in your sets tomorrow, my friends. Anyway, moving on. How was it coming back to London from Belgrade, Mr. Wolf?
Well, I always find it a bit dispiriting, to be honest.
Tell me why.
Because I think when you come back to London, like, London's a great city if you want to learn day game.
That's true.
Because you have girls from all over the world. You have... it's obviously there's a huge amount to do. It's very big. It's very anonymous.
Yep.
But I think the issue with London is it's not an easy place, is it? I mean, there's a lot of competition.
How much harder do you think it is? On a scale of flaccid to fully rock hard?
I think, I mean, there's a couple of things. So obviously, like anywhere, it depends on your SMV and how good you are.
What is your SMV?
Well, it's obviously exceptional, so...
9 out of 10?
9 out of 10, I reckon, yeah.
That's nice.
Solid 9 out of 10.
I'm a 10, so maybe one day you'll reach the same point.
But if you're less, you know, if you're not a 10, then it's... The thing with London is it's... I think if you get a girl who likes you, it's quite easy in the sense you can get fast sex here, you can get SDLs here, but... There's a lot of competition. There's girls from all over the world. It's not the easiest place to get laid because there's it's quite distracting because I'm listening to conversations in the background.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the audio quality for this one is okay, but we're speaking directly into the microphone, so hopefully it'll be fine. I mean, for me, when I come back to London, I honestly think the number one issue is the weight of the local girls. In that, honestly, if you are, you know, let's say you're 18 to 24 years old, then as long as you're like a decent BMI, like if your age is under 25 and your BMI is under 25, then you're probably good.
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting thing about London is people say there's not quality here. And I would definitely disagree with that. I think for quality, for top tier quality, London's actually one of the best places in the world.
Yeah, but are we getting top tier quality?
That was my next point. I was saying, like, in terms of models, in terms of very hot girls, there's more of them in London than most places. There's two issues. The first one is you're going to be walking a lot to find them.
Yep.
And the second one is very few day gamers actually get top tier. There's one or two who maybe get it.
What are their names rhyme with?
Well, you know,
Is his name Heike Porrester, or is it just a? Is he just a bullshitter?
I couldn't possibly comment.
He sounds like a total prick.
I've heard that guy fakes all his results. So, the food's here. One sec.
Right. So there are some chips that arrived.
The chips are mine.
There are some chips, and then there's a burger with chips. So the chips are for Wolf. And the burger is for someone else.
Where's the ketchup?
Oh, okay. So, actually, I've got a little story to tell. We're in Belgrade. We're in the heart of culture of Serbia. And, okay, right. Wolf's going to get some ketchup, so I'm just going to have to talk about ketchup for a bit. That's the topic. Okay, right. So, ketchup is a tomato sauce, right? And Wolf, we're in Belgrade, and he tells me, you're right. Oh, the problem with Belgrade, problem with Warsaw, sorry, not Warsaw, problem with Serbia, is like you can't get any sauce anywhere. And he's always complaining about, oh, I can't get any bloody sauce. And one day, he's having lunch, and he's over the moon. He's got sauce. Turns out he got the wrong meal. So what he thought was the best meal he was going to have in Belgrade was actually not his. And let me know how disappointed you were.
Yeah, so I was in Belgrade a number of years ago, and I remember the food was terrible. And my first meal there was this. I ordered the grilled chicken, and it came in this very nice sauce.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And then when the waitress took it away, and she left me with this depressing-looking, unsaucy grilled chicken...
Unsaucy is always bad.
I was very disappointed.
How many chips do you think you have in that bowl?
Answer. Probably about 50. But there's no ketchup in this bottle. So I'm actually going to leave the pot empty.
You've got a... Heike Porrester is recommending we turn upside down.
I need to find some more ketchup.
Yeah.
But I'll be back again.
So since I got back from Belgrade, I'm on this mini diet, right? And his chips look really good. But I'm not going to have any because they're too high calorie. That's the thing. Trying to get back down to my Slim Jim best. So Heike Forrester is going in for a chip right now. Wolf has no idea. And you'll think to yourself, goodness me, I've been listening to this podcast now for at least the last 10 seconds. And he's just talking about chips. But you know what? That's what the London Dane Game podcast is all about these days. It's all about chips, nonsense, and absolute crap.
Chips, beers, and birds.
Chips, beers, and birds. That's what Heike Forrester...
Premier content.
Thank you. So we're just playing for time until he comes back. So we're having a... Oh, the elusive Charlie Bright is going for one right now. It's quite... How is it? He gave a thumbs up.
This cannot be a good podcast, can I just say?
I tell you, I guarantee, I can look at the analytics afterwards. There'll be no drop-off in this past five seconds.
Two drunk people in a pub.
No. We're not drunk. We're just not sober.
With a bunch of other people who aren't saying anything. I've spent the whole podcast looking for ketchup. I mean, this is, you know...
I think we talked about day game a bit, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more. So make sure you stay tuned until the end of the podcast, because then we're going to drop some really juicy information.
How long have we been talking?
Probably, we've been 9 minutes so far.
20 more minutes to fill. Okay. Yeah.
So... I don't think you were told this at the very start, but this is season 2, episode 2. Can you imagine we made it to season 2 of the London Day Game podcast? People have came and went, lays have been had and lost, but we're still here grinding it out, grinder on the streets. What do you think was the most grindy lay you ever had?
I had one about a year and a bit ago. When I had to stay out till about 4 in the morning and I had to do about four venues. We ended up in this kind of dance club. It was awful.
But does dance club mean nightclub?
No, actually, it's...
Oh, really?
It was this weird music bar where there was people dancing.
I remember... Can I tell a little story for a sec?
Please do.
Well, I've got the phone, so anyway, it's going to happen. One of my... You know, like, sometimes you think... Like, you have those memories, and you're like, oh, God, I wish that hadn't happened?
Yeah.
So, when I had this girlfriend from university, she was well into, like, charity things. And at one point, I guess we were doing our charitable bit, and we went to one of these, like... dance houses of like black Jamaicans, and everyone was daggering inside the dance hall. They were simulating intercourse, and I decided to partake with my girlfriend in some daggering, and everyone watched, and it was the most lamest thrusting you could ever see. And honestly, I was like, everyone was watching, and I was like, oh God, this is the worst thing I've ever done. You know that kind of memory where you think to yourself, can I just die at this exact moment?
It didn't give you a taste for sex clubs then. You're not off to Torture Garden or something like that.
What about the darker taste? Is it true that the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice?
I wouldn't know.
We've asked Heike Porrester about this, and he told me that there's actually been studies on the, let's call them the dark berries, that they have academically proven tighter VJs. Okay, let's go back to coming back from Belgrade. You see that? That's an open loop. You know, this whole podcast is about open loops.
Wolf,
we're really desperate.
Wolf has been in the game for a while now. Maybe we could talk about the main things that he's learned that seem to have made a big difference in, you know, his game and his results.
Hold on.
What has been the big step change?
Are you trying to tell me that we should have a serious topic for this podcast?
God forbid that anyone should take control of this fucking mess.
Let me check the time. All right. So you're 12 minutes and 30 seconds in, and you're thinking to yourself, hey, I've been primed. I've been lubed up. I'm ready for insertion of great day game knowledge. Let's drop the value like a massive turd. Right. So, Mr. Wolf, would you... Oh, some more food has arrived. All right. So, what would you say, in your humble Wolfy opinion, are maybe the top two or three lessons, things that you did that allowed you to get proficient in a sufficient... Do you hear the rhyme? Amount of time.
Yeah. I think there's a few things. I mean, I was always very dedicated when I began. So my,
what does that mean, though? What does dedication mean?
So my first year, me and my wing at the time, we'd go out three times a week. I'd do 20 to 30 sets a week, every week for my first year. So rain, snow, when there was like borderline COVID lockdown.
What if you were ill?
Still did it.
What if it was Christmas Day?
At Christmas Day I had COVID and I was at home.
You had COVID on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It was very unfortunate.
To be fair, Heike Porrester has had COVID forever, so from a hero.
Yeah, I think dedication. So number one is dedication. Number two is I learned theory. Like, there's a lot of guys, they shit on theory. They... See, man. We're losing some guys now.
It's not podcast... not inhabitants, participants.
No, we're staying.
Only the high-value males are staying for the podcast.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys, they don't like theory. They like to try and be natural straight from the off. And, you know, I unashamedly copied Tom Torero. I would go into set and I would do basically replicas of his sets. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is necessarily good advice, but it was good for a beginner because it...
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
So, like... I have a somewhat of a theory where, okay, you can tell a beginner, here's a structure. Go in and say exactly these words and do exactly these things. But I'm starting to think that when it comes to that structure, it's not the structure that gets the girl. It's the ability. No. The guy has that confidence which he can outsource to the structure.
Yeah.
And he does it, well, the structure's going to get the goal. So he can go in and say, well, the structure's going to get her, therefore I can do the approach now because I'm worthy. And being able to do that gives him the extra 100, 200 sets. He gets, and then he gets hooked. Then he's like, oh, now I'm going to have sex by day game. Day game works.
Yeah.
And he's hooked. Then he's hooked up to the morphine drip of day game. He's addicted like a drug.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, my first... I say my first stage was this, like, beginner's luck. When I was doing all these scripted lines.
Yeah.
But because my energy was very authentic, I got a couple of lucky rolls of the dice early on.
This was the same for me. When I used to do my early sets, I used to do what I described as flailing. I would just go in and like this. I really did not have a very good plan, but I just did.
And then after that, I went into what I think I called kind of robotic hell, which is when I kept doing the lines.
Yep.
And what would happen is I'd get quite a few numbers, but they'd all flake.
Right.
So this was late 2021. I think I went like 2 months without a date or something. Because basically I was going into set, I was giving this very scripted routine. But what I didn't quite appreciate then was that it wasn't the words that were getting me the results. It was...
What was getting you the results?
Well, at that stage I wasn't getting the results. But what I know now is it... It's the non-verbals, it's the energy you put on her, it's the...
What would you describe as good non-verbals?
I think I have quite good non-verbals, actually.
No, but what is good non-verbals?
Yeah, I'm getting to that. So I think it's... I mean, you want to appear confident, obviously, in terms of your body language. So obviously, seeming relaxed, seeming like you're not moving stiffly...
I think it's quite good, like, not to be stiff at that point in the set.
Well,
what do you think though? Is it good to be stiff at that point in the set?
Depends if you're going for an STL or not.
I normally think like some extent of stiffness, not a full on boner, but maybe like a semi is good.
Yeah, I'll go check now for you.
Well, Charlie Bright normally has an erection when he's in set, so maybe he can comment on this a bit.
Charlie Bright is being oddly
elusive
at the moment. You might call him elusive, Charlie Bright, but honestly, in real life, he's a really talkative guy. But tonight, he's just not up for it.
There is a rumor that I always deny online, which is that Charlie Bright is actually a parody account that a few of us have to log into, and we just pretend he's a day gamer.
I mean, we're looking at him right now. He's eating chicken wings.
Allegedly. I mean, you can't see, it's not on video.
That's a good point. He's allegedly eating chicken wings.
So there is a rumour that he's
what
not
is the optimal
a real person.
Chicken wing amount to eat before a day game session?
I mean, it depends on what it does to you, because the worst thing on a day game session is that you really need a shit or something.
Ah, but chicken wings doesn't induce a shit normally. I would say that the best, like, I'm not joking, the best, when you have something in the middle of something, is it intra-session meal? Okay. The best intra-session meal is to have a cortado and a banana. What do you think?
So I quite like to go to Joe and the Juice.
Really?
And get a Joe's Club sandwich. It's quite nice. It's relatively, like, cost-effective. It's quite...
That's always good.
It's quite tasty.
You see, Heike Porrister and the elusive Charlie Bright are looking at us like we're madmen, but this is genuinely being recorded right now, and you're listening to it, so, you know.
It's a great sandwich.
It's a brilliant sandwich. I'd say what did you say? The Joe's Club. Joe's Club. Yeah, it's brilliant.
What's in a Joe's Club?
Chicken, avocado, tomato, help me out, Wolf. Ciabatta.
No. Is that...
Vegan pesto.
And I don't think we mentioned there's another special member of the gang here tonight.
We briefly mentioned him at the start. Yeah,
you might know him as Sherston Daygame. I don't know if he's talkative tonight. Let's find out. Sherston Daygame.
He is talkative.
he's like a Pokemon, like Pikachu. He's willing to say his own name. I can't wait till I give him an electro lightning stone. And he evolves into Raichu. He's been electrifying women all night long. and now he electrifies us with his present. It's Sherston Day Game. Anyway, so we were talking about how Mr. Wolf became so good at day game in such a short amount of time.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm so good at day game. I'm okay, okay at day
this game. This is a genuine point. Like, I understand we've gone through 21 minutes of nonsense so far. There was a moment or two of gold, but there is a massive survivorship bias in day game. So let's say this, like, even if you're a guy who's like, oh man, I've got awful AA, I got it started and I can't approach, you're already better than the 50% of guys who just came out and just went home straight away. Okay, 50%, yeah. I don't know the number, but honestly, there's so many guys out there who are just like, they can't do anything at all. So even if you can come out and do a shitty approach, you're much better than a lot of people already.
I mean, there's five of us on this table, and between us, we've probably done maybe 10,000 approaches, maybe a bit under, actually. But
I think a bit more than that. What do you think, out of 50, what is our SMV?
Out of 50?
Yeah, like, given that 10 is the maximum,
I'm a 10 and you're all 5s, so maybe, like...
So it's
whatever that is.
30 out of...
Yeah, about that.
Makes sense, because I have amazing game, so I make up for it in...
I have no game.
All right, so we've just had a delivery of 3 lots of fries. What kind of fries do we have?
But we've got a lot of fries, but I've got a serious point about this, because this might sound like utter garbage, like a bunch of mates in the pub. That's chewing gum, don't eat that. But actually, there is a serious point, which is, if you're getting into day game, a good thing to do is to meet some wings that you get on with.
Oh, that's
and actually
the moral
to
of the story.
To enjoy yourself. Like, I mean, if you're listening to this, I mean, I don't know why you're listening to this, but if you are listening to this, you know,
no, one the point of the, is that they won't know what they're listening to until they listen to it.
Call to action.
One of the lessons is, you might think this is just a bunch of idiots talking in the pub.
No, it's a bunch of.
And Charlie Bright says that is what it is. The elusive Charlie Bright. But I think actually that is a good lesson. I think that's one of the reasons that I got as good as I am. Not that I'd say I'm amazing. It's because I was always really lucky with good wings. I had my first wing. I won't say who he is. He doesn't have an online presence. But I winged with him for a year. He was a great guy. He pushed me very hard. And then I sort of met the kind of guys who I'm with now, and I think you need a good wing and a good wing network.
I just want to jut in on this point, and I agree completely. In my first year, I had one wing, a guy who I met on Tom Torero's old, like, meet a wing page, which you can recreate if you go to Tom Torero. Right, no, that's his page. You go to thomascrown.com, thomascrownpua.com, go to the find a wing page and put your contact details down there. But the guy I found on Torero's old page was great wing, got me through my first 1,000 sets, and was just good fun. Now, once you find a guy who's like a good guy to wing with, then you need to like treasure that relationship.
Yeah. Can I make one comment?
Heike Porrester wants to say something.
You don't have to be scammed by James Tusk and pay £1,000 to find a wing on his private WhatsApp or whatever it is. He still has a public Facebook page that is free that you can sign up for, and you can leave a comment in there. And, you know, people can get in touch with you. So
just a little tip.
Well, thank you very much. There we go.
And interestingly, that is how I met Heike Porrester, or whatever we're calling him for this podcast. We're now on 24 minutes. Okay.
So we only need 5 more minutes of content.
5 more minutes of content. So, Tom,
how's your beer?
It's a lot more expensive than the beers in Belgrade.
Yeah, but I bought it for you, so it's technically free.
Yeah, it's a lot more expensive for you than the beers in Belgrade.
True.
For me, it's just free.
How is it? Let's have a taste test.
It's good.
Sounds good.
It's good. I like BrewDog.
I do too.
I mean, they're a bit... The pubs are a bit generic, but they're all right. They do the job.
You should come for the Wing Wednesdays. You can get unlimited wings for a price of one meal.
Yeah, it's a good deal. It's so Tom, since you came back from Belgrade, I mean, you're, I guess you're an interesting case.
But 25 minutes in and finally someone asks about me.
Because I think a lot of good day gamers, they end up leaving London. Now, for various reasons, you've decided to stay mainly in London. So I think, how do you find it as a sort of an advanced day gamer who does most of his day game in London? Do you find it frustrating, or what's your views on London?
London is that kind of place where it's like a heartbeat monitor. You'll have like nothing, oh, big jump. Nothing, oh, big jump like this. So you walk around, you're going to find like a really hot girl, or a girl who gives you a really strong signal every now and then, and you just have to pounce on them. But there's also the thing where you can't just do those heart rate spikes, because if you don't do some in-betweeny kind of sets, you're going to be a bit like, you're not going to feel emboldened to do them. So recently I wrote a post, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, the idea that you have like low probability, medium and high sets, and it's not just probability of banging them, it's probability that you're going to do them. And oftentimes if you walk around and you haven't done any sets yet, or one or two or something, you'll be like, oh, there's another one, I'm not really sure if I'll do it. But if you've already done five, you're thinking, oh, fuck it, I'll just do another, what's one more? So coming back to London, you have to play a little bit more of the numbers game. Whereas when you, like, look, if you lived in Eastern Europe, in Belgrade or something, you could just walk around and do those high probability sets, the ones where you're like, I'm 80% sure she's going to be giving me a number. Whereas realistically, what you want to do is get to a point where you're approaching every girl who is a 50-50 or higher, because every girl above that point is worth the juice is worth the squeeze, essentially. It's just, her reward is worth the risk of like a bad reaction for your vibe. So yeah, it's a bit annoying. You have to come back to London, you have to do sets you're not really like so passionate about, but it's like, put the work in now for the long run, because if you do the work now, you know, let's say for every 10 sets, two of those are going to be those really like high probability ones, and then three more of those are the ones where you ought to just like throw out a through random bait just to see how it goes. And those are the ones where over time they add up, you get a notch, or you get a date, numbers, lays, whatever.
Yeah, and I think you get a variety of girls here. I mean, I don't track it anymore, but I used to track nationality of girls I stopped, and I think I got over 100 different nationalities in London, which there's around 200 countries in the world. So that's
Is that nationalities for numbers?
No, sets. I literally record. Obviously, some of them I didn't know if it was a blowout or whatever. Though most of them were probably English by sheer law of averages.
I think I actually looked at my stats the other day. By far, still, the highest proportion of lays I have from day game are from English girls.
That is not the case for me. I think I have, I've got one English girl, and there's another girl who is basically English, but she's technically Australian on the sort of technicality.
Oh, let's talk about that in a second, but that's it. For me, it's like, even though the English girls are the highest proportion, it's been a long time since I got a new English lay from day game.
I think I worked out that I'd done about 120 sets with English girls without getting a date. So it's almost... Lovely. Like, there's a bit of a running joke with my wings that I will walk down the street and I'll see a girl and I'll say, oh, she's English, I can't approach it. But I always say, statistically, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, but I just don't seem to do well with English girls.
It could also be that when you're a beginner, you have lower standards and you just approach more randomly, so you go for more English girls.
Yeah, I definitely have lower standards as a beginner. And I think, actually, this is an important point. A lot of people in the community, they like to, you know, claim that they're only banging very hot girls. But actually, I think, particularly as a beginner, you need to have lower standards. Or some guys do, right? You get guys who they'll go around. They've done 1,000 sets a day game. They've got zero lays or one lay. And they won't approach sixes. And it's like, come on, what are you doing? I mean, I talk on my blog, which is not public, but if it was public, you could read, like, I talk about standards, and I think it's all adjusted for your own SMV, but if you're a male six, there's no shame in approaching female sixes, or, you know, even getting some lays with female fives.
I think normally the way it works is that the male six is going to approach a vast range of girls from 5 to 8, and he's going to end up playing the sixes as well.
Yeah. Like, we joke occasionally about guys we know in London who they only approach like high sevens or whatever, and they don't, you know, they don't get any results, and it's like, why? You know, like, approach girls, I think beyond a certain point, you need to use approach to lay as an indicator of what you're approaching. Like, if you're getting 1 in 300, maybe your game is just awful, but probably lower your standards, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for that, Wolf. So, if you're a low SMB guy, then what should you do?
Well, firstly, you should try and raise your SMB as much as you can. So, we see a lot of day gamers in London, and basic stuff they're getting wrong. So, they have awful fashion. They have awful styling. Now,
they smell.
Yeah, well, in some cases, looks they
no
probably...
Looks don't matter, bro. Remember that all day gamers think that looks are irrelevant.
Wisdom from Heike Porrester.
Black pill Heike chimes in. But no, it's... improve your SMV, and I know it's a bit hypocritical because I don't claim my fashion's amazing. It's not, but
yeah. But we recently realised your archetype is Diamond Geezer.
Yeah, I was wearing a nice necklace one day in Belgrade, and Tom said to me, "He said, take it out of your t-shirt. I want to take a photo." So I did that.
Isn't that your opener?
Don't you say "You're right, darling" when you walk over? Isn't that your opener?
He goes,
"Well, I love you. Look proper fit."
No, my opener is just to talk to them insanely slowly, and then like 1 in 40 just likes it.
Should we do a pretend infield?
I think we'll save that for the next episode.
Oh, keep coming back for more. Right then, I think we should wrap it up there.
I think we should.
Oops. Okay, so we've been going for 32 minutes. Well done if you stayed for this long.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this, what it means is it means that when I was on the tube home and I listened to it myself, I didn't judge it was utter garbage, because there is a high chance that I would listen to it and think that no one can ever listen to this crap, you know.
Don't you worry. Anyway, right, thank you for listening to the London Day Game Podcast episode 2, season 2. We've been joined by
Wolf Day Game.
We've been joined by
Sherstein Day Game.
Joined by that's the elusive Charlie Bright. And of course, Geike Torrester. Of course, Geike Torrester. And me, I'm your host, Thomas Crown. That is season 2, episode 2, over and out.